Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. We're going to be in the book of Judges, the final chapter, chapter 21. Book of Judges coming to an end. Yep, our final chapter. Just a quick note, there's going to be no Bible study next week because they're going to be working on the bell tower. So no study. And then the week after that, I'm going to be on vacation. So we're going to take a two-week break. Yeah. But the good thing is when I come back after the 2 weeks, we're going to be taking on the book of Ruth, which is a great, great book. Yeah. No, we got to be able to record them and everything. Yeah, because we have people that listen to them. Yeah. So you heard that, right? Yeah. So I'll let you guys get there. We're going to pick up chapter 21. We're going to finish up. This is a short chapter, but very important. Chapter 21, final chapter. I'll let you guys get there, like I said, chapter 21. Then we'll open in prayer. Then we'll go through the Word of God. All right. Let's go ahead. We'll open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather together this afternoon in your name, we ask you, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your word, that you'd speak directly to us and guide us through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So last week, we left off with the brutal civil war between Israel and the tribe of Benjamin, a civil war within the own nation. Because of the Benjamites, they allowed a wicked act to happen, as we read, and instead of doing the right thing, they protected those men who did those wicked things. So it ended up being a conflict between Israel, the rest of the nation, and the tribe of Benjamin. And there were 40,000 Israelites that were killed during this battle. 26,100 Benjamites died over this, and so you're talking 66,000+ people that died over this act, this wicked act that happened in this town. So it was really, really sad story. We read also last week that there were 600 remaining Benjamin men. And it said that they fled to the rocks toward the wilderness to the Rock of Rimmon. And they stayed at the Rock of Rimmon for 4 months. So there was only 400 Benjamite men who made it after the Civil War. They took off. They fled. And so they were there. So we're going to pick up in chapter 21 where we left off last week. And this is wives provided for the Benjamites. So let's go ahead and read through. I'm just going to read through the first three verses, and then I want to talk about it. It says in verse 1, "Now the men of Israel had sworn an oath at Mizpah, saying, 'None of us shall give his daughter to Benjamin as a wife.' Then the people came to the house of God and remained there before God till evening. They lifted up their voices and wept bitterly and said, 'O Lord God of Israel, why has this come to pass in Israel, that today there should be one tribe missing from Israel?'" So let's just talk about this for a minute. So after the fierce battle, the Israelites get together and say to themselves, "Unless the Benjaminites find themselves some wives, it won't be too long before they don't exist as a tribe." Okay, there was only 600 men left. So they're like, uh-oh, this isn't good, even though we killed them. This isn't good. Additionally, right, they mentioned the fact that while they were at Mizpah, they made a vow to one another that none of them would give a daughter of theirs to marry a Benjamite. Okay, which means because they made an oath, they could not provide wives from their tribe to the tribe, these men of the tribe of Benjamin. And so these 600 men were hiding in the wilderness, and they were kind of stuck they were kind of stuck in this situation. They're thinking, well, what shall we do now? So let's continue and pick up in verse 4. Let's see what happens. Verse 4 says, so it was on the next morning that the people rose early, built an altar there, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, which just for a minute, they weren't supposed to do that, by the way. They weren't allowed to do that. The only place that would allow to do that is where the Lord put his name in Shiloh. So let's pick up verse 5. It says, the children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel who did not come up with the assembly to the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning anyone who had not come up to the Lord at Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death. Verse 6 says, and the children of Israel grieved for Benjamin, their brother, and said, one tribe is cut off from Israel today. Verse 7 says, what shall we do for wives, for those who remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them our daughters as wives? And they said, what one is there from the tribe of Israel who did not come up to Mizpah to the Lord? And in fact, no one had come to the camp from Jabesh Gilead to assemble. For when the people were counted, indeed, not one of the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead was there. So let's stop here for a minute. Right? This is a little interesting. Right? So they realized that nobody gathered together from Jabesh Gilead, which was on the east side of the Jordan. So when they all met at Mizpah to say, hey, we're going to take care of business, we're going to go down there, these wicked things are going on, and the Benjamites, and they're allowing all this stuff. So they said, let's gather up all the other tribes. Let's get together. We're going to go down there. We're going to take care of business. But the people from Jabesh Gilead, it says that they didn't come to the assemble. Okay? So they're thinking, they're saying, so who didn't come and fight with us? And they said, well, the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead, they didn't come. They didn't come to fight with us. Right, and here's their wicked idea. Seeing we swore by an oath not to give up any of our daughters remaining, right? Said we're not going to give any of our daughters to the Benjamites. Let's go kill the men and women in Jabesh Gilead. We'll get some wives for them there. I mean, you see the wickedness going, right? I mean, let's just wipe out all the men and women and the children except for the virgin women. That's their thought. Let's go do it. They didn't want to go fight with us. Let's go wipe them out. Let's go take the virgin daughters. We can give them to Benjamin, and now they have some wives. We didn't break the oath. They got some wives. Yeah, let's go wipe out all those people and take their wives. Sounds like a good idea. Not. Right, no mention of let's go to Shiloh and seek the Lord with all our heart and see what the Lord thinks we should do. None of that. None of that is mentioned. Right? Let's not make any rash decisions. Let's go seek the Lord for His counsel. None of that. No. Let's go see what God wants us to do. We got ourselves in a pickle. The boys of Benjamin don't have any wives. What are we going to do, Lord? None of that. They just take matters into their own hand. Instead, let's go kill a bunch of people. We'll grab some virgin women and we'll give them to the Benjamites. That'll be good. You know, this is what happens when people want to be their own God. Right? This is exactly what happens when people want to call the shots in their own life. No counsel from God. This is what happens, right? They do whatever is right in their own sight, as we've been reading, right? We've been reading that, right? Not God's will. So let's pick up and see what happens here. Verse 10 says, so the congregation set out 12,000 of their most valiant men and commanded them, saying, go and strike the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead with the edge of the sword, including the women and the children. and this is the thing that you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every male and every woman who has known a man intimately. So they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins. Still not enough. They're 200 short, right? Who had not known a man intimately, and they brought them to the camp at Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. Verse 13 says, then the whole congregation sent word to the children of Benjamites, who were at the rock of Rimmon, and announced peace to them. So Benjamin came back at that time, and they gave them the women who they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh-Gilead. And yet they had not found enough for them. So let's stop right there, right? As I was just saying, they only got 400. There's 600 men. There's 200 short. So this is crazy, right? This whole thing, Aretha, is just crazy, right? Let's go on a killing spree to serve the Lord. What a mess, right? It's not at all serving the Lord, right? Let's go strike the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, including the men and the women. I mean, the women and the children. And this is the thing that you shall do. You shall utterly destroy every male. And every woman has not known a man intimately. But hey, we'll keep our vow. Right? Unbelievable. We'll save the Benjamites. We'll get them some women. And the Lord will bless us. Unbelievable. Crazy way of thinking. Let's see what happens in verse 15. Let's pick up. It's going to get even more interesting. Yep. And the people grieved for Benjamin because the Lord had made a void in the tribe of Israel. Then the elders of the congregation said, what shall we do for the wives for those who remain? Seeing they're still missing 200. Since the women of Benjamin have been destroyed, and they said there must be an inheritance for the survivors of Benjamin, that a tribe may not be destroyed from Israel. However, we cannot give them wives from our daughters. Right? They cannot. They made a vow, and they're still 200 short. For the children of Israel have sworn an oath, saying, cursed be the one who gives a wife to Benjamin. That's their oath that they took. Verse 19, then they said, in fact, look at this. This is going to get even crazier. Verse 19, then they said, in fact, there is a yearly feast of the Lord in Shiloh, which is north of Bethel on the east side of the highway that goes up from Bethel to Shechem and south of Lebanon. Therefore, they instructed the children of Benjamin, saying, go, lie in wait in the vineyards and watch. And just when the daughters of Shiloh come out to perform their dances, then come out from the vineyards, and every man catch a wife for himself from the daughters of Shiloh. Then go to the land of Benjamin. Just stop here for a minute. This is just getting even more crazy. Yeah, exactly. We got some kidnapping going on now, right? This doesn't sound like consent in marriage to me, right? Where's the consent? Oh, man, right? This feast was most likely the Feast of Tabernacles, and people would dance in the vineyards for fruit that God had supplied them. So that's why he said they come out dancing, and the woman are dancing, and they're getting fruit. From, you know, they're saying God has provided the fruit and they're getting blessing and they're telling them, hey, when the women come out, just kidnap them, right? Seeing they only had 400 virgin women from Jabesh-Gilead from the 600 Benjamites, they were short 200. So how are we going to get these other 200 women? They come up with a bright idea, another one. Not, right? The Israelites told Benjamites, hey, we made an oath to the Lord, so we can't give you any of our daughters. I know you're 200 short. We can't give you. We made an oath. Cursed be the one who gives his wife to a Benjamite. So we're going to have to come up with some other plan here, right? But we didn't mention anything about you kidnapping some virgins. I mean, you see how crazy this is getting? These guys? I mean, this is unreal. All right? So we'll bring our wives. So it's like, this is like they're saying, hey, we're going to bring our wives. We're going to bring our families. We're going to all go to the feast. You guys are going to hide out in the bushes. And when the girls come out and dance, oh, just grab one by the mouth, drag them in, and take them off. There they go. I mean, unbelievable, right? What a mess. Man, I'm really looking forward to the Book of Ruth. I can't wait till we take on that book. These last few chapters of this book have been really strange. No, yeah, exactly. Exactly, right? Here's these girls that dance. I don't think so. I don't think these men were going to even ask them. There was no nothing. They're getting. Now, I'm talking 200 women that these guys are laying in ambush in the bushes. As I said, you wait in the bushes. When the women come out and they dance for the fruit, grab the one you like, pull them in the bushes, right? Put your hand on their mouth, and probably said something like that, and just drag them on back to your place where you're staying. Make them your wife. I mean, this is the type of stuff that's going on, right? But as we've been reading through these last five chapters, what's the summary of these chapters? Everyone was doing what was right in their own sight. Nobody was seeking God's will. God was sidelined, and they were just, it was free-for-all, mayhem. These last five chapters of this book is just absolute craziness. It is, you know, it's just unbelievable. This is nothing like the Book of Ruth. Looking forward to that. That's the greatest love story in the Bible, the Book of Ruth. We're going to go from how not to live. When we get to the Book of Ruth, we're going to see the greatest love story in the Bible. Good one. So let's pick up in verse 22. We'll just read through these remaining verses. I got just a couple more things we can talk about. So verse 22 says, then it shall be when their fathers or their brothers come to us to complain that we will say to them, be kind to them for our sakes, because we did not take a wife for any of them in the war. For it is not as though you have given the women to them at this time, making yourself guilty of your oath, as the children of Benjamin did so. They took enough wives for the number, for those who danced, whom they caught. So it sounds like they got the 200 they needed. Poor women. Then they went and they returned to their inheritance, and they rebuilt the cities, and they lived in them. Verse 24 says, so the children of Israel departed from there at that time, every man to his tribe and family. They went out from there, every man to his inheritance. And here's the summary of this book right here in the last verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own sight. And that's how this chapter ends. But I want to talk a little bit about this. This is what happens when men do whatever they want. This is what happens. Right? Whatever seems right in their own eyes, and they set God aside. These are the things that happen, right? No one seeking after the Lord. Just doing their own will instead of doing God's will. Complete mayhem. Right? Now, I just want to just go over a couple takeaways from this. This is a short chapter. We're going to finish up earlier today, but we have a discussion. But a couple takeaways from this book that we can learn from. The first 16 chapters are all about sin, repentance, and restoration. We saw that through the first 16 chapters of this book. Right? The judge dies. They do wicked in the sight of the Lord. They sin. But then they repent, and God restores them, right? We see this over and over through the first 16 chapters. What's that tell us? Well, it tells us a few things about not doing wicked evil, but it goes to show how merciful God is, that these people could sin over and over And as long as it was true repentance, God would forgive them. He would raise up another judge for them to save them from their infirmities, all of what they were going through, tough times. And that just happened. It continued to happen year after year. Now, you got to remember, this book of Judges took place for about 450 years. So this is a long period of time that this happened. God would raise up a judge, deliver them. They would get on the program. Judge dies. Back to their wickedness. Over and over. We saw that in the first 16 chapters of this book. And it really goes to show you how merciful God is. Now, the last five chapters of this book, we can see how bad things can get when God isn't in our lives. Okay? We can really see wickedness. We see it in our society. We see what's going on in a godless country, godless world. It's awful. But these are the types of things that go on when there's no one seeking after the Lord. You know, outside the body of Christ, outside as Christians and stuff, but outside in the world, a lot of people we talk about, they don't fear God. They don't fear hell. So they're doing doing what they think is right in their own sight. And it's not good, right? No one truly seeking after God's will. And what a mess it turned out to be these last five chapters. So let's go ahead. We'll close in prayer. Like I said, this is a short chapter, and we'll go ahead. We'll kind of have a discussion. But let's close in prayer. Let's close in prayer first. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us in this chapter, the importance of what it looks like without you and what it looks like with you, Lord. So we thank you for speaking to us through this book as we come and complete this book. We see, Lord, that all throughout your word, how merciful you are and how things look when we try to live our lives without you, Lord. It just never works out. Never works out well, like it didn't for them during these days. So, Lord, we thank you for speaking to us, and we ask you, Lord, that you'll continue to help us be the faithful servants that you want us to be for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.